Blog Talk Radio.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today, sporting backpacks and they're on their way, yo. Trying to learn the things we like, going to my class, everything's alright, oh. No one as smart as you, no one as cool as you. No,
whatever grade level or type of school,
my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together,
I'm shaping students that'll shape forever.
The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools, and you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse, so I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse.
I'm singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride, gotta be there all time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I run my class like I know I should,
I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood.
I thought you understood, I'm the difference in my class for the greater good, yeah.
Getting my class to spread the wind,
being at school makes me wanna sing, oh.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
We can change the world together, teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever, I think it's time we change the weather.
We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future and the future's gaining speed.
If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed.
And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up their eyes, I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there all time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine,
gotta open up their eyes. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
Teacher, I'm a teacher, yeah, yeah.
You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses.
And we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes, you're jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine.
Oh,
class is online, gonna open up the minds.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher, let me see the way you shine.
Welcome to Season 2 of Teacher Talks. This is Episode 5. I am your host, Stacey McClam, live on Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international brand. This season is sponsored by School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching by Stacey McClam, available on Amazon. We are proud to welcome you to a season of profound discussions with leaders in education, inclusion, and wellness. For those of you who do not know me, I am an educator, author, and filmmaker. I have 10 years of elementary teaching experience. I've taught first grade through fourth grade, but mostly first grade. So I know we may have some listeners with other educators who have different experiences. Maybe they taught middle school and high school, but I was elementary. I've taught in Washington, D.C., Denver, Los Angeles County, and also abroad in Japan and Kuwait. And last year, I resigned from the teaching profession and wrote a book entitled School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, where I describe why I left the teaching profession. So the book raises awareness about the trauma that students and teachers experience at school. Now, in between my teaching career, I went to law school because I wanted to bridge the K-12 education to legal field gap. I thought that the law would help me to change policy, but after graduating, I realized it took too long, and I returned to the classroom, and I have a great respect for teachers and the teaching profession, and now I'm transitioning from teacher to filmmaker, so I've actually recently started substitute teaching as I transition, and I've written 2 short films, directed 3 of them, and my goal is to create films about education issues. Now, today's guest is Dr. Terilyn C. Rivers Cannon. I'll call her Dr. RC, as the students do, and I'm so happy to speak with her because she is a school social worker, much needed profession. And she works in the Atlanta area. She has devoted over 18 years to improving the lives of Georgia's school-aged population. Her role is that of a child advocate, providing appropriate interventions and services that help an average of 2,500 children and families every year who are at risk for educational failure. Now, she's the host of a show called Dare to Soar with Dr. RC, on the Bold Brave Media Network that airs every Saturday from 10 to 11. And she is also the 2019 National Social Workers Association of America Award recipient. And she's the first school social worker from Georgia, the first African-American, and the first African-American female to win this award. Now, congratulations, Dr. RC. Hi, how are you today?
I am doing well. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me on the show this evening. I greatly, greatly appreciate the opportunity.
Definitely. Thank you for stopping by. Your profession is so needed. in my years of teaching, I know that you have an extensive background in medical social work, and juvenile justice, and I see all three in the elementary schools that I've been in. So thank you for your work, and congratulations on the award.
Thank you so much. And thank you also for recognizing the work that I do along with my colleagues as well. It means so very much just to hear those words in itself. It truly, truly does speak in volume, because so oftentimes, you know, as a school social worker, as well as being a social worker, that is so many times left in silence. We know our value as well as the work that we do, but just to hear the sound of that, you know, kind of bounce off, if you will, for someone else to recognize it and speak that language, as far as our title is concerned, it means a lot.
Oh, well, thank you, because it does mean a lot, and I do recognize it. And I want the listeners to know she also has 3 other awards, but I specifically spoke on this one because it's the 2019 National School Social Workers Award. And as she stated, sometimes social workers I won't say are overlooked, but at least at the schools that I've been at, we've only had part-time social workers or no social workers at all, even though we needed, you know, full-time social workers. And I would say at some of the schools, at least in my book, I actually wrote 10 professionals, mental health professionals, but I mean, at least 5 at some of the schools. So it is definitely necessary. Can you talk about why your work is so necessary in schools?
First and foremost, when we look at the area of mental health, I can speak to that because that's so much at the forefront now when we look across the nation, when we see what's going on with our children right now, and we talk about the trauma that our children are facing, and we then further on look at the ages in which that trauma is going on, social workers are definitely at the forefront of that and looking at that trauma, being identifiers of what's going on. When you look at those moods and the actions of it, the changes in those moods, and recognizing that when a child comes in, for example, on a day-to-day basis, that those behaviors that one may say, okay, that child is just acting out. No, it's so much more than just acting out. That acting out behavior could be that that child may have not had a good night's rest. That child may have experienced a domestic violence situation. That child may have experienced not going to a home of rest, meaning that they may have been, that family may have been in a homeless situation. For example, mm-hmm. that child may have been in an abusive situation. So as school social workers, we're able to really assess the situation, to pull that child to the side, that student to the side, to take the time and say, hey, what's going on? And mm-hmm. have, giving them the opportunity to not feel like they're in isolation and having them to know that someone is concerned and care. And not to say that educational professions do not care, and I don't want to put that out there by any means, but the skill set that we have, because we are trained to identify those factors, to know what's going on, those telltale signs to look at, where we may notice that the clothing that they have on, they've been wearing that, they may be tattered in a way. That facial expression, those mood swings, or that behavior where they may be just explosive in those instances, mm-hmm. just pulling them to the side, just taking those few moments. And it's sometimes it's just that we're in the rush of the day, but when we, because we, once again, that skill set that we have to know that let's just take a step back to identify what's going on. We're able to, mm-hmm. as I always like to say, peel back those layers to see what's really going on and identify. They may be going from home to home, shifting. They may have been from county to county, state to state. They may be running from, families may be running from domestic situations. Whether, and it's not always a female domestic situation. Males go through domestic situations as well. And although it's so underreported, and I know society-wise, it's not recognized as much as a reality, but it is a reality. It does occur.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just over here, like, applauding everything you're saying, because definitely what you're talking about, the mood swings, changes in student behavior, even some triggers, it's beyond classroom management, and oftentimes I, you know, knew that it was not a skill set that I had, and that's why in my book I do talk about needing professionals in schools like social workers, because, as you said, they have a certain skill set, and, you know, you all are trained in that. I'm not trained in mental health or psychology, trauma, crisis, all of these issues that came up, you know, on a daily basis with me, with first graders. And, you know, even students that young, people, many people don't recognize what all occurs at some of our elementary schools. And as you said, the mental health. So, yeah, I'm curious. I suffered from secondary traumatic stress. So I'm wondering, you as a social worker, how do you deal with the trauma that you may see on a daily basis? What's your self-care? How do you take care of yourself?
Well, definitely we have to breathe in between everything. And self-care for us is so vitally important. Just reaching out to a colleague and talking to one another. And when we have those opportunities in between, sometimes it can be as simple as if you know that you need what some may call that mental health day, because mm-hmm. this is a job that can be very easily overwhelming. And I don't say that lightly. When we talk with one another and share cases and bounce cases off of one another, we see so many, many, many things from a homeless family to a child that's been in an extreme abusive situation to cases that are in between when we see domestic violence situations. So if you need that mental health day and it's becoming overwhelming to you, then certainly that's vitally important. You may need to do a day at the spa. Take that day at the spa for self-care, because if you are not able to preserve yourself, then we're no good. And I'm going to say we, because as a whole, there are thousands of us across this nation. If we're not able to do this job with fidelity, then we cannot care for our children and families, along with staff members, because we not only have our children and families that come to us for questions and answers, we have staff members and community stakeholders that come to us as well, that they're looking for support, have questions or concerns about particular issues as well.
I'm sure, because you guys carry so much knowledge, and it's definitely needed at schools. So you currently work at elementary schools and high schools?
Yes.
Is that correct? What's the difference, or what has been your experience with maybe the differences or similarities between the two? Because I know they're structured differently.
Well, the cases, they are. You know, I always say the little people and the older people who think they're adults. And it's so funny because when I say that, when we look at our younger children, the responsibility and the onus is on the adults when you're looking at elementary school. Cases are going to be pretty much, those cases are the same. You're looking at the child abuse, the homelessness, all of those things. The huge difference is as far as the responsibility piece. When we're looking at high schoolers, the responsibility of getting yourself up, putting yourself together, in high school, they're able to do that. They're able to set that time clock, for example, hey, it's time for me to get up, get myself together, and come on in to my educational setting. In elementary school, they're not always able to do that, unless, and let me preface that, unless we're talking about our children that are in special needs situations where they need that extensive assistance. So that is going to definitely be a big difference for that.
And are most of the cases that you come across being referred by teachers, or are some of them you discover on your own?
It can happen either way. Some of them we discover on our own, and our teachers can refer, administrators can refer, and as well as our students can self-refer themselves as well.
Okay. And you've been doing this work for 18 years. Can you tell us about your nonprofit organization, Katie, and your aunt Katie, and how she inspired you to become a social worker?
Of course. You know, and when I share this story, it's so interesting because she knew that I was supposed to be doing this work before I did. We were in my grandmother's home in Savannah, Georgia, and I was a junior in high school, and she was a college professor at Voorhees College in Denmark, South Carolina, and she would come home during her breaks, and she would have her papers, and you know, her students would have contact with her, and she would sit in my grandmother's home and grade papers. And I would always find myself sitting in the area that she was sitting in, which was in my grandmother's, which was a little area in her garage that she was a subset of the kitchen. So I would sit there at one end of the table as she was doing all of these things, and I would, you know, curiously ask questions about what was going on. Grading papers and questions about what was being written there. And it was all about social work. And I would tell her, I said, no, I will not be doing that work. as she would delve into, you know, explaining words about social work and about advocacy and talking about Maslow and all the language about social work and all of those things and the laws and the process. And but it's so interesting because the more she spoke about it, I just became really intrigued, especially when she talked about the laws and the processes and about advocating. And along with that, some of her colleagues would also call her about cases, asking her steps and the process about how to deal and handle with things that were going on with students. And although this was on a college level, students would still have questions or concerns about things that they would get in, issues that they would get into. My chair went from one end of the table even closer. And she would always tell me that I needed to learn the language. And the word that she would use was vernacular. And I would ask her, I said, what do you mean? What does that mean? I'm a junior in high school. I'm a kid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So when she explained that to me, the more and more I became drawn to it. And then the organizations that she was a part of, the National Association of Social Workers, the National Black Social Work Organization. Then she began to write articles that were talking about mental health. And all of those things drew me in to this work and what needed to be done. And she would say things to me, if you're going to pull up to the table and plant your feet, you need to be able to have a voice for those who are not able to speak for themselves. And when you're speaking for those who are not able to speak for themselves, you need to be confident in what you're saying and speak with consistency and fidelity about that. And when you speak with a stern voice, so that people in the room are paying attention to what it is that you have to say. Because by doing that, you're letting them know that you're intentional with the words that are coming behind you and that are flowing from your mouth. And I was drawn in each and every time. So each time she would come home until I graduated, I was more and more intrigued and drawn in by the work that she was doing until I myself became a student at Voorhees College. And in Voorhees didn't have a social work program, so I went into criminal justice. And by the time I finished the 4 years there, I ended up going to Florida State and obtaining my master's degree in social work.
And did you majored in criminal justice? Was that because you thought that was the closest major to social work?
It was,
since you're,
yes.
You're, exactly. Yeah, that's interesting because my undergraduate major is actually social work. And even though I wanted to become a teacher, my university did not have an education major. So I thought the closest thing was social welfare, which is what my school called it, or sociology. So I just chose social welfare. So, yeah, that's interesting. But they're all related. Like you see criminal justice, social work, education. I see it all. In school.
Oh, definitely,
definitely.
Especially when we're looking at the prison pipeline right now going on with our youth. It's definitely a tie-in. Of course, then I could not see that, could not see how the line was drawn. And I always say that, you know, God has a plan for everything that he does and he puts in line for us. So although Voorhees didn't have a social work program then, he was lining me up through her with everything that I needed to do. And the nonprofit that I have right now is Soar with Katie, which is in honor of her, which is carrying actions towards inspiring eagles. And the reason that I gave it that name is because an eagle soars always to unlimited heights. And that's what she instilled to me and inside of me. She always told me and taught me that there is no limit to what you can do as long as you are determined and resilient and you always remain humble. It's no limit to what you can do.
Wow. That's powerful, and that's true. That's true. So I'm so glad that you are an advocate for our students, and I'm wondering, so I know the social work it is part of a system, and I know that some parents may be reluctant to work with anyone that's part of a system. Even me as a teacher, some parents have had issues with the teachers or the school system or any other system, foster care system, health system, and so they sometimes may look at me unconsciously as a threat or as someone who's not there to help them. You as a social worker in that system, how do you work with parents or guardians who may, you know, look at you side-eye thinking that you're trying to hurt them instead of actually helping the situation? Does that make sense?
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Some people have a view of social workers that may or may not be accurate. So
they do. They most certainly do. You know, each year we have to do, and I'm sure that each district or state has a different process. But what I do is when I'm presenting, because we have to do a presentation to first the staff, and I want to put it out there to the staff first that we have to build a bridge. And it starts first and foremost with them, because what we put out is what we're going to get back. And the reason that I say mm-hmm. that is you guys can't use us as a threat, if you will, or a tool mm-hmm. to say, if you are not doing X, Y, and Z, for example, if you're not bringing your child to school, if you're not responding to our calls, we're going to get the school social worker on you. That's not how we're going to build this bridge, because it's home to school, school to home. And if we're going to build this bridge of communication and put these dots together, connect these dots and this connection for, you know, a happy family, so to speak, we have mm-hmm. to let them know that we're here to work as a team. We're here to work as a team. And by saying that, we're here as a support system, just as you shared, a system that's here to support you. We're not here to take anything from you. We're here to help and assist you to gain and empower you, to encourage you to the best of our ability. Now, we can't do that if we're not working together as one. So if we get that message first to the team that we're working with in-house, we can do nothing but filter that out throughout them. So when the parents are coming in, I let them know that I could be sitting in the same seat that you're sitting in at any point in time, and which is true. Any of us can. We're no right. different than they are.
Mm-hmm.
We're no different than they are. Now, is every day going to be perfect? Absolutely not. But it's all about doing our best to make them feel comfortable, because it is a threat, especially when we're dealing with parents that are coming from backgrounds where they have had bad experiences, where they have been
right.
put in positions where they have been felt made to feel threatened, especially when we're dealing with our special education population or our parents
mm-hmm.
that have not had those opportunities allotted to them, or they may have had the opportunities but just didn't know how to take advantage of it, where so and they felt like someone has talked down to them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking to them on their meeting them where they are.
Mm-hmm.
We have to meet them where they are. And if that means going back to the basics, doing those ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, because it's all about getting them to understand that we're here to support your child, because we want them
mm-hmm.
to be successful. And that's what it's all about.
That's true. That's true. I like that you have that stance, because it is important, because some parents do feel that threat. So I can see how they would, you know, kind of calm down and listen to what you have to say once you present that you are not there to hurt them. So mm-hmm. that's definitely helpful. So we are going to take a quick commercial break and return live on Tribe Family Channel with Teacher Talks right after this.
Hi, my name is Stacey Matt-Clam. I am the author of School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching. I wrote this book last summer after I resigned from the teaching profession. Writing the book was therapeutic for me. In the book, I discuss why I left the teaching profession. I also discuss trauma and mental health concerns that many students, especially very young students, endure. Finally, I discuss teacher trauma, also known as secondary traumatic stress. This book is not just for educators. It's for anyone who has walked away from something that was not serving them. I am realizing now that my path in education is outside of the classroom. Check out my book, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, on Amazon in digital and paperback format, or go to my website at www.stacymatclam.com. Again, that's www.stacymcclam.com. You can find me on all social media platforms at Stacey Matt-Clam. Thank you.
Hi, we're back. I'm Stacey Matt-Clam, your host of Teacher Talks. This is Season 2, Episode 5, with my guest, Dr. R.C., a school social worker. So before the break, Dr. R.C. told us about her nonprofit organization, Katie. Can you please tell us what the acronym stands for again and tell us a little bit more about what the organization does?
Katie stands for Caring Actions Towards Inspiring Eagles, and it is dedicated in honor of my aunt. My aunt was my mentor, and I still say that she is my mentor because I take all of the lessons that she has taught me and I continue to reflect upon about the work that I do, which is as a school social worker. All of those years that I sat with her and listened and absorbed everything from the profession that she did as a college professor in the field, that's what is geared to. The work that I do for Katie, it's me, it's public speaking, and that's what it's a part of. Additionally, it's a scholarship piece to it also that's dedicated in her honor, which in May I'll be giving out two scholarships, which will be my first two scholarships that I'll be giving out in her honor, and that's what it's all about. It's the public speaking piece, going out talking about social work. So that is my goal, to go around the nation, and I'm not limiting myself to one state or two states. My goal is to go across the nation talking about the vital work, the important work that's being done by social workers.
Yes, and why specifically schools? Why did you want to become a school social worker?
Well, everything starts in the school system. And I say that because without the educational piece, you can go no further. No matter which angle you go into, that's your foundation. You have to start off in the school. Now, am I going to limit myself to just speaking in schools? Absolutely not. Because I've spoken just here recently at a social justice cafe, which talks about human sex trafficking. And right after that, I spoke at a scholarship luncheon, which was here in Atlanta at the Atlanta Alumni at my HBCU alma mater a scholarship luncheon, which was a true, true honor. I was very, very excited when I had the opportunity to do that to some students who had just received some scholarships to go to Voorhees College. That was an honor as well. So I was very, very excited about doing that. So I have a vision of speaking at a church also, there's a word that I have on my heart that I really is very heavy within me that I want to deliver there also, because I just feel that is a foundation for me because I was raised up in the church. Now, am I pressing on that for everyone? No, everyone has their different path and their different calling, but that's just something within me that I feel that I need to do. You know, it's all about passing it forward. Wherever you can reach out and deliver a message that's something that's going to allow someone to hear something that needs to be heard, that's going to allow them to be able to receive information that's needed to be received for growth. That's going to be vitally important. You never know who's sitting in an audience that needs to hear words at that particular moment. And that's what she did for me. Sitting there all of that time with her, who knew that the words that I heard were going to be the words that was going to carry on and me be able to carry things through? Because as a teenage mother, I was told so many times where I was not going to be, what I could not do. But it was my determination that said for every door that was going to be closed, that I refused to let it stay closed.
Wow. So it sounds like you're not only an advocate, but also like a motivational speaker. You like to inspire people.
I do.
Yes. That's awesome. I mean, it's much needed. And like you said, social work is vital work, and I don't think people really think about it necessarily, and especially not as it relates to schools, but it is so necessary. Like, I seriously am telling you this, I saw the need every day because I knew there were certain things that I just did not have the skill set for, and I didn't have the time for as a, you know, teacher when I have the rest of the class and say there's five or more kids that have serious issues. I could not as one person. So I definitely think, you know, we need more social workers. And what do you think about, I guess, schools having other professionals in mental health, such as psychologists or counselors, behavior therapists, on school sites? In my opinion, most schools don't have enough because we don't have enough of these resources. But what are your thoughts on, I guess, the whole kind of mental health professionals?
Well,
in being
it's
in
a
school.
Team effort. It's a definite team effort. Each profession, when you're in a team meeting, you're collaborating on, you're collaborating about the information. So with counseling, they're looking at schedules, pulling together the schedule. With the psychologist, they're looking at the testing piece of it. With social work, we're assessing the situation, and we are the mental health professionals on that. So therefore, when everyone comes together, we're bringing a piece of the pie. So all of those slices make that whole pie, just to give you an example. Then you have your special education piece, if that's necessary, or if a child does not have an IEP, individual educational plan, that child may need student support team, SST, and it may be called something different in a different state. But that's that additional support, whether they're needing extended time, for example, in the classroom, or extended time for testing, things for like that. That's another piece. So when you're collaborating, you're filtering out what the needs or what's in the best interest of that student. But then when you look at just as you just shared, there's not enough. And even when I go back to look at my own profession, there are so many oftentimes where there's not enough of us. because I can just think off the top of my head right now, just collaborating on a national level, because I do sit on a national board also. And when I'm with my colleagues on that national level, that in some of their particular arenas, that there's not even a social worker in their that particular county. So there's so much underreporting going on there. And then when I back up and stay in Georgia, the ratio from one school social worker to students is one school social worker to 2,475 students.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I knew it would be a lot. Wow.
And you know, the national level says 1 to 250. We would be happy to have 1 to 1,000.
Right.
If we could get that number, you know, to that, it would be phenomenal just to get the numbers down in itself. Mm-hmm. But even if we could get social workers in all of the schools across the nation, even if we can get one in each one, so you can complete the team as a whole to really address the needs of the students, think of the impact we would have when the whole team is complete. That's just like if you were in a kitchen baking and you had all of the ingredients right there and you didn't have to stop or pause each time you needed something to say, wait, no, I don't have this. Let me back up.
Right.
If you had everything right there, you could be more reactive at that time and really address the issue and prepare. Just as you need it to.
Right. Definitely, because I've been at schools where there was a part-time social worker, and let's say she was there Tuesdays and Thursdays. Well, if something happened on Wednesday, just too bad for me and my parents because, you know, she's not there. And so I'm wondering, is it a matter of resources from the district level or state level? Is it the districts or state not recognizing the need for social workers and mental health? Why don't we have more social workers?
It's funding. It definitely is funding and how funding is filtered down. But that is something that we are definitely fighting for and working on. You know, that's something that we speak up on each and every day to let them know. And that's why it's so vitally important for all of us to join our state and national organization, because it's important for you to have a voice. Because, of course, we know that numbers speak volume. And that's the bottom line. You know, of course, we're here doing the work, but numbers speak volume. And like I share with my colleagues also, that for us, we're pretty much on call just about 24 hours. And I say that when we're making defects reports, for example, in a lot of states, counties, how you want to interchange that, when we're making reports and then those calls come back, we're expected to respond to that. We never know what the situation is as to how our families are going to return home, our children are going to return home. We don't know what that situation is. So we have to ensure that when we're making those reports, that we're, for one, as detailed as possible. And it may not be a guarantee that we're going to get an immediate call right then. So we have to be available.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
We have to be available.
Now, I know you are currently serving your 2-year role as the state president of the School Social Work Association of Georgia. What types of trainings or what's at the top of the list of trainings that you want the social workers in your organization to be familiar with, to be familiar with when they go to schools?
Always trauma. Anything that's on the cutting edge of trauma. And actually, my 2 years just finished. I just turned it over to the new president. So I just finished that
up. Oh, okay. Well, congrats with the 2 years.
Thank you. But I'm sitting as the past president, so I'm still right there. But as we talk about trauma, always anything on the cutting edge of trauma. And I say that because things change so quickly. You know, things come out so quickly. And certainly anything that it's coming out with drug and alcohol, anything. For example, the vaping right now.
Mm-hmm.
That is on the cutting edge. Any information that is available with that, it is vitally important that that filters down. Also, the training about human sex trafficking. We do this each and every day, but just staying informed and abreast as to what's going on within the state.
Mm.
Here in Atlanta, we know that we are at the top. We are definitely at the top because Atlanta is such, you know, it's so much glamour and excitement here. We are in the top five easily.
Mm.
We definitely are.
Yeah, I remember there's a documentary about sex trafficking specifically in Atlanta. I think I heard about it a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked with, you know, the minors involved. Really sad.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And it's so unfortunate because of fear, a lot of times our young women will be involved for years before they'll say anything. And I also just want to say, as we say young women, we have young men that are involved also. And they become so vulnerable to this because they're running from a situation feeling as though they're coming to a better situation. And that's when that homelessness, the gang-related incidents come into play. The promises that they're looking for when someone is telling them, I'm going to take care of you, when they've been in a bad situation. And that friendly face, that eye contact that they feel as though, okay, you know, I'm in a safe environment, not really recognizing that they're not in a safe environment, but they're looking for someone in their minds to care for them. Because what they feel like they're running from has been, you know, just the worst situation ever. But someone is promising them some minimal things. And I just had a conversation, you know, with a colleague of mine that I'm going to be partnering up with for a program that's going to be coming to my high school. And just as we were dialoguing, oftentimes they will hear things like, let me go and take you to get your hair done. Let me buy you a meal. Let me take you to get your nails done. Let me buy you an outfit. And that's something comforting. Mm. Because there again, they're running from a situation that they're feeling that has been the worst situation ever. So those small things that we think of as small things, and how can you, you know, be so easily swayed by that? That's huge. That's huge for our young people. Huge.
Mm-hmm.
So just simply saying that, you know, it weighs so much, it carries so much weight for them. So that small thing turns into something larger, because when they're getting those things, it turns into, well, didn't I get your hair done? So now I need for you to do this for me. And then they end up getting locked in a situation that they want to get out from under, but they can't.
Mm-hmm.
And then something else piles on. Because once that happens, to stay in it, once they want to run, then the other thing that's compiled on top of that is then the drug scene comes on as well. So it just, and, you know, it had that ripple effect, unfortunately.
Right. And I can imagine, you know, these maybe middle schoolers and high schoolers, I'm sure the traffickers are telling them to go to school so that, you know, they will not have a lot of absences to raise, you know, concerns from teachers or social workers. So they're going to school maybe, you know, a lot, but teachers may have no idea what's going on at all.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Or either they're telling them to come in and then they'll pick them up during their lunchtime. So they're showing their face for a couple of hours and then not finishing out the day. So those are some red flags also.
Okay. Well, that's helpful. Thank you for sharing the vaping and sex trafficking, and also the trauma is a big deal, something that I did not become aware of until recent years, because everywhere, most of the places, well, I've taught in rough areas most of my teaching career, and so I kept wondering, like, wow, in every state I've been in, it's the same thing. Like, what is the problem? And I knew it was not classroom management, because I was strong at that. It wasn't that I couldn't handle the class. I was like, there is something wrong, and I couldn't identify it. And I'm like, this is serious. Like, this is a mental health issue. This is beyond my classroom management skills. And so I, you know, started researching and talking to other teachers, and then I learned about trauma. And I'm like, oh, these students have suffered some kind of trauma. And, it was eye-opening for me. I never, as an educator, had any kind of PD on trauma. I think now, you know, the word is getting out, and you find some schools or districts teaching about childhood trauma, and, well, you don't really see too much about teacher trauma, but definitely the word is getting out on childhood trauma, which is helpful, but we need more because, like I said, I was clueless. Schools of education preparing teachers need to do a better job with teaching future educators about this because it's serious.
Oh, definitely. That is definitely the goal. That's why there's a big move going towards trauma-informed schools where trainings are being provided to schools about just what you just shared about being trauma informed and turning that around because it is so vitally important. And I can't say enough, everything that you look at when you simply just turn on the television and turn on the news, just being aware. And, you know, we don't take it for granted that everyone is trained in this, but it's about awareness, being aware about it. And everyone's comfort level is not the same. And, you know, honestly, we get that. We definitely get that. But once again, it's the awareness piece of it. It's just the awareness piece. And it's all about being aware. Because when you are aware, you can honestly say or go to that individual who has the skill set, pick up the phone, send an email without being so detailed, even if that email is a one-liner. Hey, can you come to my classroom? Hey, can you give me a call? Looking for your administrator that's walking down the hall. Do you mind stepping in here for a moment if the teacher cannot leave that classroom? And then having the opportunity to provide detailed information as to what has been observed. Because once again, we have no idea the situations that our children are going home to.
And that's why we get some of the behaviors that we get, because there's oftentimes a lot going on at home that manifests itself in the behaviors. Yeah. Wow. It's a lot. It's a lot. I'm hopeful hearing the work that you do with your organization and spreading the word about social work and just people, you know, looking beyond schools as just schools, but also, you know, really looking at schools as places that need, you know, mental health services, kind of like a wraparound type programs that a lot of schools are going to now, where you have all these services at the school, because with some populations, you just really need it. Like, it's not even, it's kind of a necessity. The teachers can't teach. You literally cannot teach until you get these issues addressed. So you have to have these services.
Oh, you most definitely do. You absolutely, absolutely do. Oftentimes, a lot of our students just need that break. They definitely do need that break. And we know that we understand about the instructional time, and we respect that, definitely. So the way we intertwine the wraparound services is having, when the wraparound agencies come in and we meet with them, we are very detailed about that, cutting into instructional time, because, yes, this is still the learning environment, and we understand that. But the, you know, the caveat to that is when a child is in crisis. So we have to look at that also. Mm-hmm. There's a whole different protocol for that when a child is in crisis.
Mm.
So that absolutely is different. You know, when a child is in crisis, we have to really get there, assess that situation. It may be a situation where that we may have to call the ambulance for that child. Definitely alerting our administrators. We have to alert the child's parent or guardian to that. So that's a whole different set of circumstances. But when we're working with our wraparound agencies that are coming in that have been approved, and I want to say that again, approved by the district, depending on how those districts are set up, I know for us here in the Atlanta area, the district that I work in, they have to be approved by the district, because a lot of times some wraparound services, and I want to say not all of them, but some wraparound services can come in and it can at times not be such a pleasant experience, and I'll say it like that, for our students. And we don't want that. We want someone to come in there who is consistent, who is working with our students with fidelity. Because after all, this is a child's life that we're dealing with. Right. We want positive outcomes. We're not talking about perfect outcomes, because as we know, it may not be a perfect outcome. But we certainly want something positive. If we can pull something positive, no different than if we're having a parent-teacher conference, for example, or a team conference. You know how your training tells you, okay, let's start off with the positive before we kind of go dive into the parents and say, your child did all of these things all day long. Let's pull out the positive first and then work from there. Then let's create, you know, talk about solutions as to how we can pull apart and get to what's dig down, drill down to what's really going on with this student.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this behavior this way? Why was this child's reaction in this way? What's the history of this child? What's the history of the family? Is there a history behind underlying history? Is there something transgenerational going on that we need to be aware of?
Mm-hmm.
Cause and effect.
Mm. Interesting. Well, Dr. Arce, thank you so much for taking the time today to speak with us, enlightening us, and thank you for your 18 years of service. I mean, that is quite an accomplishment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So can you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and your organization, your social media and handles?
Of course, of course. On Facebook, it's just my name. Well, my full name is on Facebook. It's Tyrolyn Rivers Canyon. If you look me up on Facebook, you can find me on Facebook. I am on Instagram. It's Dr. DOCTORR.C. Which is Dr. RC. I'm also on Twitter, which is at SOARWITHDOC, DOC_RC. LinkedIn, there again is my full name, Tyrolyn Rivers Cannon. Also on Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can hear me on the BBM Global Network, which is Dare to Soar with Dr. RC. And then my website is www.soarwithkatie.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. RC. We appreciate your time. You take care.
Thank you for having me. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Stacey Matt-Clam. I am the author of School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching. I wrote this book last summer after I resigned from the teaching profession. Writing the book was therapeutic for me. In the book, I discuss why I left the teaching profession. I also discuss trauma and mental health concerns that many students, especially very young students, endure. Finally, I discuss teacher trauma, also known as secondary traumatic stress. This book is not just for educators. It's for anyone who has walked away from something that was not serving them. I am realizing now that my path in education is outside of the classroom. Check out my book, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, on Amazon in digital and paperback format, or go to my website at www.stacymatclam.com. Again, that's www.stacymcclam.com. You can find me on all social media platforms at Stacey Matt-Clam. Thank you.
You can't stop my shine. This class is all mine. Gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today. Sporting backpacks and they're on their way. Oh, trying to learn the things we like. Going to my class, everything's alright. Oh, no one as smart as you. No one as cold as you. No, whatever grade level or type of school, my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together, I'm shaping students that'll shape forever. The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse. Singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride. Gotta get there on time, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star. You can't stop my shine. This class is all mine. You're opening up the minds. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher. I run my class like I know I should. I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood. I thought you understood. I'm the difference in my class for the greater good. Yeah. Getting my class to spread the wind. Being at school makes me wanna sing. Oh. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. We can change the world together. Teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever. I think it's time we change the weather. We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future, and the future's gaining speed. If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed. And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. I'm jumping in my ride. Gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is on mine, gotta open up their eyes.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Teacher, I'm a teacher. Yeah.
You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses.
And we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song. Open up the eyes. You're jumping in my ride. Gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine.
Oh, class is online,
gonna open up the mind.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher, let me see the way you shine.